Bibles to the book of Galatians. I know we've been studying in Sunday school in the book of Galatians, and I've had something on my mind lately. I would like to, and I'm not saying I'm going to do this every Sunday night, but or even on Sunday mornings, maybe deal with it a little more, but I've had on my mind to try to bring some simple, helpful messages for young Christians. We've got a lot of young Christians in the church, and we've got college students. We've had some, and when the college students started coming, if you'd have told me at the beginning that we'd have more on Wednesday night than any other time, that would have surprised me. But we have several that comes on Wednesday night. I thank the Lord for that. And then our young people are coming to the place of asking questions, being more interested. And I've been thinking about this, that, you know, if I preached a message on how to study your Bible 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when Abigail was 3 years old, she probably didn't take good notes, or she's probably forgot. There's some things that need to continually be gone over, because you've always got a generation coming up, and maybe they were in church at 3, 5, 8, 12 years old, but, you know, there's a time where you start asking again, you know, what about this, what about this? So I want to try to bring some messages, maybe be considered pretty basic, but still very necessary. You know, we don't need to leave behind. And one of the things that got me thinking about this, and I don't think she'd mind me telling, but Sister Elizabeth, that got saved last year and comes on Wednesday night, she had mentioned to Sister Amanda that there's a lot of words that we use that she had started writing down in a book. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? We just take it for granted. Everybody knows what we're talking about, but Christians, we use words. What, to somebody that doesn't know, what's it mean to talk about being blessed? What's it mean to be justified? What is revival? You know, what are these things? We need to make sure we're teaching and training. That's what one of the things, making disciples, is teaching, training, making sure everybody understands. Now, I wish there's 300 people here to hear the message tonight, but there's not. We're going to preach what the Lord's laid on our heart. And you always realize that no matter who's here, there are those that come behind and listen on the website, listen on the radio. It's amazing to me how many people I meet that have heard the messages on the radio and listen. So our ministry is beyond just who's here in the building tonight. And we got to realize that as well, and pray that God would, that we would make full proof of the ministry that the Lord's put us in. So we're going to try to preach tonight just a simple message on the subject of the gospel. That's what I want to preach on tonight, just the simple subject of the gospel. And this is a good time to deal with this, because our Sunday school lesson has been dealing with this same thing. We need to make sure that of all the things that we know about, we need to know what the gospel is. And so let's just read here Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6, down through verse number 14, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. That's sort of a long, that's an introduction before we read the scripture. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did Paul's gospel come from? It come directly from Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying in verse number 12. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here tonight and all the blessings you've given to us. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have a church where we can come, and Lord, where it is expected and desirable that we have a ministry of the Word. Lord, we love all the things that attend coming to worship. But Lord, we realize that you have said in your Word that you magnify your Word above all your name. And Lord, that the Word of God is central to everything we do, believe, here and in the life hereafter. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for an understanding in it. I'm thankful that it's simple. I'm thankful, Lord, that it can be understood. And dear God, I pray you'd help us to be a people of the Word. And not just that we understand and believe it, but that we know how to explain it to others. So I pray you'd help us tonight that we would grow in our faith, in our knowledge of Thee, that we'd have a greater confidence to be able to share with somebody else just simply what the gospel is. And I pray you'd help us to take what we know and use it for your honor and your glory. And I pray that souls would be saved and the saints of God would be edified. And we'd see, Lord, that you'd get the glory and the honor for everything it's said and done. Lord, I pray for your help tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, we're going to try to preach just on the simple subject of the gospel. Now, if somebody asks you to explain, what is the gospel? What would you tell them? There's a lot of, if you went out here and asked 100 people, what is the gospel? You'd probably get 100 different answers. Because even though there's a lot of religion and a lot of church, there's not a lot of understanding about what exactly the gospel is. Is it some broad definition, some religious words? And we'd talk about, it's living a good life and telling people the good news. Now, most people, maybe that's the way they would describe it or that they would explain the gospel. Well, the gospel means the good news, and it does mean good news, literally. Gospel means good news. But the good news of what? What are we talking about? The gospel is the good news of what? The word gospel, and I didn't really realize this, but it's used a lot in the Bible. The word gospel is found 104 times in the Bible. So anything that is in the Bible that many times, and that's all in the New Testament, you and I ought to have a real good understanding of what the gospel is. You think about it. We use the phrase gospel music, gospel preacher, gospel message. We might hear somebody out here in the world say it's the gospel truth. So it's not something that we don't know what the word is. We use it all the time. But what exactly does it mean when we're talking about the gospel? And so we're going to look here in Galatians chapter 1 tonight, and the first thing that I want to point out concerning the gospel is what it is not. We'll start like that tonight. What it is not. And Paul is talking here in the gospel of, or in the book of Galatians about the gospel, and he's discussing the same thing, what it is not. And he says in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, look what he says, another gospel. If I was the devil, I would try to pervert the gospel, wouldn't you? I would try to make sure that there was a lot of confusion when the word gospel was mentioned. I would try to make sure that there was not only another gospel, but if I was the devil, I would try to make sure that there was a multitude of gospels. And we're living in a day and time where there's that very thing. There is a multitude of answers when somebody would ask the question, what is the gospel? Paul dealt with it this way, what it is not. And we'll say, first of all, along these lines, it is not religion. The gospel is not being religious. In fact, the word religion in the Bible always has a negative, it's associated with a negative thing, not a positive thing. If you look in verses 13 and 14, look what Paul said. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation. Now, Paul was extremely religious, but he was lost. And let me point out something about religion. Just because somebody is religious does not mean they're saved. It does not mean that they have believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, religion is associated with two things. Verse 13, he said, I persecuted the church. Religion is associated with persecuting the true gospel, persecuting the true church. Millions have been martyred down through the centuries in the name of religion. You think about today, all this ISIS, these Muslims around the world. What was it the other day? Over 100 people in a bombing were killed. That was in the name of a religion. This beheading that's going on all around the world. Can you imagine that? Cutting people's heads off. That's being done in the name of religion. That's being done in the name of that they think, like Jesus said, the day will come when they will persecute you, they'll think they're doing God's service. They'll kill you and think they're doing God's service. Religion in the sight of God, that is no good. God does not call us to be religious for religion's sake. Paul said, yeah, I was in the Jews' religion, but I persecuted the church. And then he said in verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion. Boy, there's a lot in religion that has a dollar sign attached to it. He was a man of means. He profited in the Jews' religion. Oh, there's a lot that is done out here in the name of religion that just is for making money. L. Ron Hubbard, he started the false church of Scientology. Maybe you've heard about that. And he started out, he was a science fiction writer. You can even go to the bookstore today and you'll find books by L. Ron Hubbard. But he found out, and he wrote volumes and volumes of books. He is what would be called a prolific writer. But he wasn't making very much money in all of his writings. In the early 1900s, up until World War II, the 30s and 40s, right through there, he wrote all kinds of science fiction books. and he was well known as a writer, but he said this statement that he thought that the way to make a lot of money was not by being a science fiction writer, but he said, if you want to make a lot of money, start your own religion. And that's exactly what he done. There's a lot that goes on that is associated maybe in the minds of the world with being the gospel, but being religious is not the gospel. Paul said, I persecuted. Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion. There's a lot that goes on under the banner or under the name of the gospel, which is not the gospel. Paul's talking here about what is not the gospel. Now, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning, Brother Mike taught, and he let me have this article. I told him that might go along with the message tonight, but over here in Boone today, this happened today in Boone, and this article was in High Country Press, and it was about the Boone Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Well, it says on Saturday, March 21st, and then they had something else today. But they had this, I don't know what you'd call it. They had something this weekend, that's what we'll call it. They had something, and they called it Reverend Yolanda's Old Time Gospel Hour Unplugged. Will be performed at Boone Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Boone on Saturday, March 21st. And I'm not going to read all of this, but what it was, they had this person, and they call themselves Reverend Yolanda, which is a woman, but this person was born a man. His name's Roger Anthony Mapes. Roger Anthony Mapes in 2014 was the recipient of the Manhattan Association of Cabarets and Clubs for Best Drag Artist. Now, if somebody dresses in drag, that is usually a man that dresses up and lives as a woman. And this person came to Boone and went to this fellowship, this Unitarian Universalist. And you read the article, this person is inducted into the GLBT Hall of Fame for Activism. That's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. This person began a spiritual journey which led him / her to One Spirit Interface Seminary, where she / he became Reverend Yolanda, an ordained interfaith minister in June of 2011. Now, this is labeled with the word gospel. But I'd say the only gospel in that would be what's in the title, not the gospel we're talking about. This would be maybe the gospel according to a drag queen, homosexual, interfaith minister, and there's no doubt that it's religious, but that doesn't mean it's the gospel. We have to not measure what we think the gospel is, but what does the Bible say the gospel is? There's a lot of other gospels. The Mormons have another gospel. You ever picked up a Book of Mormon? It says on the front of it, another gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've always thought to myself, did somebody, when they printed that on the front of that book, did they not read what Paul said about another gospel? Paul said, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, let them be accursed. Do you know what that means? That means let them be cut off and sent to hell. Buddy, Paul was serious about this thing of preaching another gospel. The Mormons have another gospel. The LGBT community has another gospel. Catholicism has another gospel. Jehovah's Witness has another gospel. There's all kinds. It is not religious. It's not being religious. It is not good works. A lot of people think the gospel is good works. And I can see how people think this. I can see how people get the idea, because this is just human reasoning that God would have a set of scales and put the bad on one side and the good on the other side. I just read a book by a Jewish lady that got saved. And she said, growing up in as a Jew, that her understanding of going to heaven was that God would weigh out the bad and the good, and if the good outweighed the bad, you'd go to heaven when you died. That was her understanding of going to heaven. That's most people's understanding. If the good outweighs the bad. I read something a few weeks ago, and this man, he was a member of the church, but he never went on Wednesday nights. And his pastor was talking to him about coming to church on Wednesday night. And the man told a joke to the pastor. He told this joke. He said, a man went to heaven, and God kept taking people into a room, into a little office, and he would talk to them a little while, and they'd come back out. And he said, this man, he's like me, didn't go to church on Wednesday nights, and he died. And God took him in the little office, and after a while, they came out, and that man was just grinning from ear to ear. And he went back over where the line was, and they said, what are you grinning at? And the man said, he's not counting Wednesday nights. That was the joke, the man. He's not counting Wednesday nights. But you know, there's a little bit of truth to that. God's not counting Wednesday nights. When we're talking about being saved by the grace of God, God is not counting Wednesday nights. He's not counting Sunday mornings. He's not counting if you got baptized. He's not counting how much you gave to the church down through the years. He's not counting being a good person. He's not counting helping a little old lady across the street. If God counted anything other than the blood of His Son, you could go to heaven by being a good person. But God's not counting good works. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do anything to go to heaven, it would not be by the grace of God. If it was faith plus works, it wouldn't be by the grace of God. The Church of Christ, the Christian church, that's basically the same thing. Except the Christian church, when you hear about somebody, they go to a Christian church, you'll hear if you go to a church like that, that they will phrase it like this, that you need to obey the gospel. And that is a faith plus works way to get to heaven. And the only difference, Christian has a piano, Church of Christ doesn't have a piano, but they believe basically the same thing, that you must obey the gospel, you must repent, you must be baptized by one of their preachers in one of their churches, and if you don't do it their way, you're not going to heaven. That's faith plus works, but faith plus works is not faith. It's not by the grace of God, it's I'll believe and then I'll help God get me to heaven by being good and doing good and all this. But the gospel is not religion. It is not good works. It is either by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing, or it's not by grace. If God counted things for salvation, then it would be by works. You know, there's a lot of people going to work for the Lord, but they're not going to go to heaven. Look in Matthew chapter 7. We're talking about what it's not. People say, well, if I'm a good person, if I go to church, if I turn over a new leaf, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Here, beginning in verse number 21, we find some of the saddest words in all of the Bible. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. You're familiar with this. The Bible said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people says, Lord, Lord. The Catholics, the Mormons. the Church of Christ people. You ever heard them on the radio? There's a lot. It says, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me, or not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, that's sad. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. I never knew you. But they thought, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things. We've cast out devils. We've done many wonderful works. Well, some would go back to verse 21 and they'd say, oh no, you got to do something. The last part of verse 21. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See there, you got to do something. Got to do something. But look over in John chapter number 6. Preacher Honeycutt, his wife, Sister Patty. Brother Jerry told me one time that years ago, she was going through a time of doubting in her concerning her salvation. And he wouldn't mind me telling this. He's told it many times. But she had this struggle going on. Have I done? Have I done? Have I done? See, that's a human mindset. I got to do something. Well, you do need to do something. God tells us what we need to do. John chapter 6 and verse number 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? People want to do something. Look what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. You want to do the work of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back one chapter in John chapter 5, verse 24. I love this. I love that verse. I've had that underlined for years. This is the work of God. That ye believe on him whom he has sent. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't that good? Right, I noticed Brother Carper said it like this. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that's good. I believe anybody could get in on that. The thief on the cross didn't have time to come down and go join a church and get baptized. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he passed from death unto life because the Lord told the thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What it is not. Second of all tonight, what it is. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And every child of God ought to know this. Here's a Bible definition for what is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Give you a moment to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You ought to put a mark in your Bible. You ought to have this memorized. Here's the Bible definition for what is the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. All right, we're going to get somewhere. Coming up is the definition for the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. That's one of them good Bible words we really like. Paul said, you're saved. By, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, Over in Galatians chapter 1, remember Paul said, I received the gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here he said, I received. Where did he get it from? He got it directly from the Lord Jesus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. If anybody asks you, or you tell anybody, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. People try to add all this stuff. They try to take away and use all these different definitions, but that is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. How that he died for our sins, according to Scripture. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is what it is. Now let me point something else out. Number three, that's what it is. But number three, who is it for? Who's the gospel for? Look again in verse number one. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you read this chapter, you read verses 1 through 8 over and over again. You, ye, who's the gospel for? The gospel's for you. The gospel's for me. It's for us. Mark 16:15, I said that this morning. Go ye into all the world and preach the, what's that say? Preach the gospel. Who to? To every creature. The gospel is for everybody. The gospel is for the religious. Old Nicodemus was religious, but he needed to be saved. He needed to be born again. Saul was religious, but he wasn't saved. He needed the gospel. Well, there's a lot of people. The gospel is for religious people. I'm teaching this last 8 weeks down at the school. I'm teaching on evangelism. And we started last Thursday night, and I started out by saying, you know, a great place for evangelism to take place is in a church. Because the gospel's for religious people. I was religious before I got saved. I'm glad I got saved, aren't you? Many of you are like me. You grew up in church. You're probably religious before you got saved. Aren't you glad you heard the gospel? You can be religious and be lost. The gospel is for religious people. The gospel is for moral people. I read that book by that Jewish lady. She was a moral individual. She lived a upstanding life. She tried to do right, live right. She was moral, but she wasn't saved till she heard the gospel and believed it. The gospel's for moral people. The gospel's for scholars. The gospel's for rich people. The gospel's for poor people. The gospel's for everybody. When I lived in Idaho, I had a lot of people that I was around and people that I would even call friends, as far as the world goes, who were Mormons. And I remember talking to one of the men that I got to know while I lived out there, and talking about some of the things we did and how that we had gone and we had a prison ministry. And you know, we'd go down there to the jail and preach to those people that were in trouble. And man, some of them broke the law and been drunkards and gotten in fights and things like that. And I remember my Mormon friend, he said, that's good for them. They need that. See, in his mind, he didn't need what we were offering because he is a pretty good fella. But them old drunks and them old criminals down there, yeah, they need the gospel. Well, you know what? My moral friend needed the gospel too. He just didn't think he did. And that's the same case that the Pharisees were in. Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But the Pharisees were sinners too. And the Sadducees, the gospel's for everybody. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins. We're all sinners. Romans 3 and 12 said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. A good, moral, upstanding. A lot of times people get in their mind, sinner, that means you've been in trouble with the law. But the best person you know is a sinner. And they've sinned in the sight of God. You got to believe the gospel, you have to believe you're a sinner. Christ died for our sins. And you have to believe that He is the Savior, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 10:9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to believe that. Look down in verse number 5. Let me point something out. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthians. It's been a long time since Paul got saved. And he's talking about after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So he said in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now look in verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas. That's Peter. Then of the 12, that's the disciples. The disciples seen the risen Lord. Now pay attention to this. I want to point something out. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. 500 people seen the Lord at one time. Some of them had died, but a lot of them were still living. That's what he's talking about. Look in verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. Then of all the apostles. But look what Paul said. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul is referring to his personal testimony where he met the Lord Jesus Christ as he was going on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, and he met the risen Lord. And he got saved by the grace of God. They believed that they had met a man who was dead and buried, and he was alive again. That's what Paul's writing about. And if you and I get saved, we're going to have to meet the same Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I did not have a Damascus Road experience. Brother Carper talked about that last week. I didn't see a blinding light. I've not seen the Lord with my own eyes like they did. But I promise you, I met the same person. It is not our responsibility to convince anybody of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to preach the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they get saved by the grace of God, they'll have to meet Him, which means the Lord will have to reveal Himself unto them, just like He did you and just like He did me. I've met the risen Lord. I have met Him through faith. And He is just as real to me as He was to Paul. And I'm glad today that it's not my responsibility to convince anybody that there's somebody that was dead and they are alive again. I'm to preach the message, He'll reveal Himself. Jesus said, now if I be lifted up, John chapter 12, I'll draw all men. There's a drawing power in the gospel. There's power in the gospel. And as we preach the gospel, the Lord Jesus can reveal Himself to in the most unlikely places, to the most unlikely people, at the most unlikely times. Well, when I went to church that morning, I didn't go planning on getting saved, but I met the Lord. He saved me. He's been with me ever since. And He's just as real to me as He was to Paul. You think about that. If somebody gets saved, they've got to meet the Lord. Aren't you glad you met the Lord? I believe the gospel, but I'll tell you, I know the Lord. I know He saved me. I know He's real. I love that song we sing. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Who's the gospel for? It's for everybody. When is the gospel for? Look over just a few pages. I'm going to point out a couple more things and I'll be done. When is the gospel for? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Look at the parentheses here. For He saith, this is a reference to the Old Testament. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When's the gospel for? Well, a lot of people think the gospel's some old time something. Well, that's for a generation ago. Billy Sunday, when he would stand up and preach, and he went all over this country preaching, and he would say something like this. He'd say, the only message I have for you is an old time message. The only gospel there is an old-time gospel. The only power there is old-time power. There's only one gospel. And it's for now. It's for whosoever will. Right now, the Bible said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I remember when I was young, and the Lord began to trouble me. I don't remember a whole lot from my youth, but I remember one thing that really bothered me was all the talk about nuclear war. When I was a little boy and the Cold War between Russia and America was going on, man, that used to bother me. And I remember there was a television show came on. And what it was a movie, but it was made to be like a newscast. And what was happening was America was being bombed, and it was the news as it was taking place. You know, the Russians have sent the bomb, and there's so much time before it gets here. And I remember laying in my bed worrying about dying, worrying about what if that happened? What if that happened? God used that to speak to my heart shortly before I got saved. And I do believe that before somebody gets saved, it's got to enter their mind that they're going to die. They're eventually going to die. What are you going to do when you die? The gospel's for right now, for whosoever will. And here's how it is. If people won't get saved today, when will they get saved? A lot of people say, well, I know I need to. But they don't have a day on their planner when they're going to get saved. That's the devil. It's sort of like that when we meet people and they say, good to see you. Good to see you. All right, come see me. We say, okay. But you got no plan on going and seeing them. People say, I have people in my family. If I go over at Mountaindale, A lot of my cousins and uncles and everybody's over there, and they say, come see us. And I say, you pass my house more than I pass yours. I just don't go to Bethel every week, but they all go to town. They all pass my. So we have intentions. Oh, yeah, we're going to. But the devil will never let you get saved if you're living life on the I intend to down the road. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. When is the gospel for? It's for now. And I say, last of all tonight in closing, why not? What good reason can anybody give for not getting saved? When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Why not? Why not get saved? That's the gospel. Come. Come now. Come while you have the opportunity. The gospel must be acted upon. By faith, it must be believed. Nobody can give a good reason why they won't get saved. So when we're talking about the gospel, and I'm closing tonight, the gospel's a wonderful thing. If we're going to share the good news, we got to know what the good news is and who it's for and what it is and what is involved in it and when people need to come. It's not inviting people to church. It's inviting people to Christ. I know we want to get them to come to church. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, but they may never come. So if you get a chance, give them the gospel. They may not get here to hear it like we've heard it tonight. The gospel, why not? Why not? It must be acted upon. So I hope it'll be a blessing. Hope it'll be a help to us. I've enjoyed preaching the gospel tonight. I'd like for us, we're going to sing a song.